Blog Talk Radio.
The most deadly, supremely intelligent. Your inkling of truth where all else irrelevant. Often underdeveloped and arrest development. The principle to the perception of who's running shit. The intangible element, forever present. Internal illumination shining bright as fluorescent. Light from above, more like heaven's light from above. Or just sequence sparkles from Michael Jackson's glove. You the prophets, requirements dipped in blood. Mind your vessels and prepare for the flood. We lit shots like the scud to leave comp dead in mud. Closing in on parameters until there's nowhere to run. Never mind your gun under the rays of the sun. Out of a million, double MC is the one to which the foul and flagrant. Never ever one come unless the headstone is already chosen, son. I traveled a million miles, still I search myself without diamonds and gold. Still I enrich myself through chance and arms. I will heal myself until my physical's gone. With no breath left, I traveled a million miles. Still I search myself without diamonds and gold. Still I enrich myself through chance and arms. I will heal myself until my physical's gone. With no breath left.
Death seems inevitable, the body's material, the inner, the physical, the mind's intangible, it dwells on the astral, the soul is immortal, come into the portal, the mystery unfolds, read the holy scrolls, from whom the bell tolls, unclassified elements absorb chi through melanin, until we ethereal wrapped in the wings, the hill is a magnificent glow, for unconditional love, scattered rays for days, from the heavens above, but below the soul, takes control of flesh, on a 7-day rest, from the emotional stress, beyond this worldly test, ancestors blessed.
I traveled a million miles, still I search myself without diamonds and gold. Still I enrich myself through chance and arms. I will heal myself until my physical's gone, with no breath left. I traveled a million miles, still I search myself without diamonds and gold. Still I enrich myself through chance and arms. I will heal myself until my physical's gone, with no breath left.
20 sets of sand for 40 days and 40 nights, putting fire to the soul to watch the phoenix take flight. Shining light into your darkest night, you stand so bright. Leaving snakes in the belly until my sword takes life. And all that's left to roar, my mind stay right. A love giving a fight, rather through breath or blood. You warriors are drum, let them rhythms run. Rebels with infinite bars, the infinite wisdom. Bring on to hellfire, put flames to the kingdoms. As the cities burn, tell me who can redeem them. Those parted from their material riches shall be cracked up, bruised and left in bloody stitches. Defenseless of those who are senseless, submerged into realms of ignorance and nonsense. Continuously they close the eye to the conscience, blindly they proceed to live a life unjust. I traveled a million miles, still I search myself without diamonds and gold. Still I enrich myself through chance and arms. I will heal myself until my physical's gone, with no breath left. I traveled a million miles, still I search myself without diamonds and gold. Still I enrich myself through chance and arms. I will heal myself until my physical's gone, with no breath left.
Arm, leg, arm, head. Hit a drop, bombs on the mentally dead.
What?
It's
devils, you don't chop in your head. I be all wise and civilized. Deliver truth while the 10% deliver lies. His devilish mint has been solidified. I be the 5% epitomized.
Right.
When you in the presence of God, you better recognize.
Yeah.
Before your life get jeopardized. I'm about to exercise my right to bear arms. See me in a wife beater, nothing but bare arms and tattoos. I hit a motherfucker hard like bad news. Some people say I'm nuts like cashews, and that's true. I'm mashed through in a black truck strapped up. Busted from the driver's side. You either ride or die. All praise due to the Most High. I'll blaze you with my 4-5. This is Jihad music. See the God do it. Allahu Akbar, Lord Jamal's the truth. I need an arm, leg, leg, arm, head. Here to drop bombs on the mentally dead.
That's right.
Islam, I keep you properly fed. And to the four devils, you don't chop your head. I need an arm, leg, leg, arm, head. Here to drop bombs on the mentally dead. Islam, I keep you properly fed.
Right.
And to the four devils, you don't chop your head.
Back once again with Dr. Aleem Bey, and tonight's subject is going to be on the power of imagination and mastering your fate. And we're going to get into that particular science of the power of the mind, because we know that the first of the seven universal principles is mentalism. They're one of the principles of Tahuti or Jahuti, known as Dor within the Greek, or Hermes Trismegistus. For those who don't understand what that actually means, you're not talking about an actual being that existed. It's a concept. Actually, it's a particular concept in which that symbolizes a functioning of the human body. Tahuti actually is the medulla oblongata, which is the storehouse of your memory, your past lives. Your photographic memory lies at the back of the head. Within the Bible, it tells you the story about Jesus being crucified on Mount Golgotha. Within Aramaic, means the skull or the place of the skull. The English transliteration was the word Mount Calvary. So your head is symbolic to a mountain. And the back of it in particular is Calvary, in which that Calvary symbolizes a battle or having a particular amount of people or information or ideas for battle. That's what it symbolizes, Calvary. And also, that's in its general sense. Also, we will have to think about the fact that Golgotha in Aramaic means the back of the head or the place of the skull. It just so happened that the medulla oblongata is located in that area. Within Qigong, Tai Chi, or Tai Chi Kuang, you tap on that area at the back of the head in order to scar that area, or what is called scarification of the area, in order to give you a photographic memory and be able to tap you into the Akashic Records, which is your own personal universal library, in which that is the various incarnations of your past lives, in which that taps into your oversoul, in which that is called your monad. This is what is actually symbolic to. So Tahuti symbolizes that. This is why Tahuti within the ancient Kemetic scripts or the ancient Sumerian or Egyptian script, he was the scribe of the gods. He recorded all the deeds of the gods. Within Islam, symbolizes the left and right angel over the shoulders, symbolic to the cerebrum and the cerebellum, or the two cerebellums. And you would turn to your right and say, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuhu. To your left, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuhu. Who are you speaking to? There's nothing there, technically. But you're talking to the aspects of your brain, of your mind. That is Tahuti, the recorder. Within Hebrew, the word Qop, Q-O-P-H, symbolizes Tahuti too, in which that Qop within Hebrew has various attributes. The back of the head is one, skull is another, axe, copy, monkey. What is the symbol of Tahuti? The symbol of Tahuti is a monkey, a baboon. And that's what that's symbolic to. Monkey see, monkey do. A monkey will imitate you. Hence, that was symbolic to a recorder or a copier. That's why the monkey was the symbol of Tahuti. The ibis bird was also symbolic to Tahuti because of the beak or the bill of the bird symbolized. It looks like a writer pen or like a writing instrument or an instrument of writing in which they utilized 3,000, 4,000 or more so years ago. This is what people aren't telling you about these characters that they still have you going back worshiping. They just turned your attention from Jesus and now got you worshiping Tahuti within the ancient Egyptian text. But there's no explanation of this, just like there was no explanation when you was a Christian. And this is the problem with all of the religions. All of them claiming to have the truth, but yet don't know how to correlate the information back to the human body. So it is no truth, essentially, and in essence, because the supreme axiom is as above, so below, as within, so without. So the number one principle of Tahuti, of the seven universal principles, which I'll tell you all seven of them, one is mentalism, two is correspondence, three is cause and effect, which is karma, reap what you sow. Four is rhythm. Five is vibration. Six is gender. Seven is polarity. Number one is mentalism. The all is mind and everything in the universe is mental. So the power of the mind, the power of the imagination is essential to master, because everything is mental. Everything is of the mind substance. You draft the elements by via your mind. Your mind is actually the magic wand, and you bring all things into existence. That's what's symbolized within the book of John, where it says that the word made flesh. The word symbolizes the power of sound. Sound travels at 1,120 feet per second, slowed down from the light frequency of 186,000 miles per second, slowed down from thought, which travels at 24 billion miles per second. So thought slowed down is light. Light slowed down is sound. Sound forms geometrical shapes, patterns. So the word made flesh. That's how we were able to condense from the thought realm, light realm, into the sound realm. And became a tangible thing of sound black mud, as the Quran says. Adam was made from sound black mud. And that's the key word, sound. Within ancient Kemetic teachings, show you that we was on the potter's wheel being formed by Kanum. Kanum symbolizes the mitochondrial DNA. So you've been listening to a lot of speakers out here, which actually have no answers for you when it comes to decoding the ancient mystery school and showing how it applies back to the physical body, and that's the problem. A lot of speakers, but no one is still seeking. In order to be a good master, you must be a good student. And that is the criteria in order to learn how to apply this information. The power of the mind is very essential, once again, within African or traditions, in particular of the Yoruba, is called Ori. Of course, you have Olodumare, Obatala, Shango, Ogun, Oshun, Imiya, Oya, Ishualegba. And all these seven powers symbolize Ori in its various aspects. Just like the seven endocrine gland system, or what is known as your seven chakras, or the wheels of light, color, and sound, symbolizes what? The Elohim. Aspect of Elo. Your Lord and personal Savior, your God, which is actually your divine soul, your higher self. Which within the ancient Kemetic teachings is Osar or Osiris, which is half asleep within your pineal gland, waking to be resurrected and to be able to ascend as the Father who art in heaven. But before that can happen, through various breathing exercises and positions and mantras and mudras, you awaken the Kundalini, which is the aspect of Aset, the mother principle. As she sends up, she becomes the queen of heaven once again, tapping into the pituitary gland and beaming that white light onto the pineal gland in order to awaken Osar. And in his resurrected state, he is Heru, the Christ, the awakened one. This is what the ancient Kemetic story was telling you about. When Osset transformed into a bird, which is symbolic to the Ba, which is the soul aspect, the spirit, the spiritual soul. And she began to flap her wings over top of the clay phallus in which that was made by Tahuti. That clay phallus symbolizes the pineal gland. In which that the reason why it was lost or eaten is because there are people on this planet who have calcified pineal glands. So you have lost the aspect to obtain, which is the soul principle. You have lost connection to the soul. That's what that story was actually symbolic to. So Tahuti made a clay phallus, and Aset was able to transform into the Ba, the spiritual soul, and flap her wings in order to draw forth the essence of life from Osar, with chances to awaken the soul and to give birth to Heru, the awakened one, or the Buddha, as it is called within Buddhism, or Muhammad, as it is called within Islam, the one who is worthy of praise. Heru's other name is Isa, which is the same within Arabic or the Quran, which is the name of Jesus, is Isa. That's no coincidence. The power of the mind symbolizes the activation of the various mind centers, known as the chakras. With the opening of each one, which is the opening of the seven seals mentioned within the book of Revelation, in the Holy Bible. And I do refer to it as the Holy Bible because it means sun book, or sun pages, or sun papers. That's the actual definition, or the raw papyrus, or the raw paper raw, which is nothing more than the Perhem Heru text, the evolution and the rise of Ra. That's where it was drafted from. That's where it's derived from. That's what it is a summary of. This is what they are really talking about. And we got to grasp this. Because everybody waiting for something to come out the sky in order to save them. Instead of working on themselves. Getting to know thyself. Which is written all over the temple walls in ancient Egypt. That is the criteria. Know thyself and you will know God and the universe. That's what's there. Know thyself and you will know God and the universe. So, the first chakra is open and activated as it moves through the concession to the second chakra. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh chakra. When we get to the elements, you will find out that the first chakra symbolizes the earth element. The second chakra symbolizes the water element. The third chakra symbolizes the fire element. The fourth chakra symbolizes the air element. The fifth chakra symbolizes the ether element or sound. The sixth chakra symbolizes the light element. The seventh chakra symbolizes the thought element. These are the seven elements. You've been taught about four, earth, air, water, and fire. And when they combine, they form ether. So you've been taught about five of them, but you was not taught about the final two. There's no coincidence that by utilizing an aspect of Heru, who was Shu. Shu was the first begotten son of Atum. Hence the reason why your Bible says that Jesus was the second Adam in the New Testament. Because Shu was the first begotten son, or the only begotten son of Atum. And hence he himself was called the second Atum. This is not me. This is inside of the Perhem Heru, known as the Book of Coming Forth by Day and Night. Misnomer, the Book of the Dead, by E. Wallace Budge. This is how we're going to find the correlations, is by comparing the stories. You have to be a comparative religious student. You must do comparative religious studies. Compare all of the religions and all of the so-called stories in which that are similar so you can get a fuller understanding, overstanding, understanding of the correlations and the real meaning. Then you take another book, which is called the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, written by Charles Fillmore. or The 12 Powers of Man, written by Charles Fillmore, or the books written by Hilton Hotima, the ancient sciences of the cosmic masters, the magic wand, the magic temple, the great red dragon, higher consciousness, the secret of regeneration. These are all books by Hilton Hotima. Get another book written by Philotas. That's Philotus, Philotas. There's several books written by him, which is, of course, makes these anonymous or acronym. Philotas is. You can get another book written by John P. Scott, The Four Gospels Esoterically Interpreted. You can get another book by T. Down called The Bible Myths. These are the books that you need to be studying and reading, so you become more metaphysical and get a clear understanding of these particular stories. This is what must be done. Then people can jump out and start saying that they lecturing or that they are teaching. But if they haven't put this information together, then they actually are not master teachers, that's for sure. They have aspects of the keys, but they don't have the key in order to explain to you the ultimate truth, which is you. The mystery within masonry is you. Once I realized that, I mean, it became simple to me. Oh, damn, I'm the key to masonry? Well, what is it about me? Many just want to go around parroting, oh, arm, leg, leg, arm, head. Or arm, leg, leg, arm, supreme head. I'm God. There's more to it. Shu, which is a form of Heru, because Heru was born from Osar, just like Shu was born for Atum, which is a form of Ptah, and Ptah Ra is where the origin of the word father comes from, just like the word Mut Ra is where we get the word mother, or Mut here is where we get the word mother from. These same English words that we are using actually are Egyptian derivatives or Tamarian derivatives, Kemetic derivatives. The word cousin comes from the word kunsu. So we are still using words today in the English language in which that are tied directly back to our Egyptian culture or Kemetic or Temerian culture here in the Americas. This is why within the state of Arizona, they have found 18 temples all up and down the East Coast, in particular from Delaware on up into Connecticut. They found hieroglyphics or Metuneta. They found who's a Harvard professor, found the Arabic, Hebrew, Libyan language amongst the Mi'kmaq, amongst the Iroquois, amongst the Algonquin. Supposedly Native American tribes, but yet they speak in Egyptian tongues, Kemetic tongues, African language. And this is what isn't being told. The Albion couldn't take millions of our language away. Our words was encoded inside of the language. There's particular words within the language in which that we still utilize today, in which that is tied back to our culture in Africa, our African culture, our African mind. What controls the mind, the emotions, is the breath. The breath is the unifier of the mind and the body itself. The destroyer of the ego. It murders the ego. It murders the four devils. It's the conqueror. That's what the breath is. And Shu is the personification of the breath, the personification of air. Jesus' Aramaic name, or old Hebrew name, is Yahshua. So Jesus is nothing more than an aspect of Shu. It's right there within the Aramaic name. So Jesus never existed, black or white, except within you as a so-called black person or a so-called white person, because you all have the breath of life. And it depends on the way in which that you utilize it, in which that makes you a Christ or Meshin or Messin, Mason. A tear of the eye of Ra, or a child of Ra, or the children of Ra. If you ever want to blow a fire and make fire high, you have to blow on it. But it has to be controlled. The air has to be controlled. Oxygen, fire needs oxygen in order to build higher. So by you controlling the breath, you build a fire within your body to a higher state. Hence, you activate the Kundalini, which is known as the serpentine fire. Normally, the Kundalini is wrapped 3.5 times at the base of the spine. Once again, that's offset. It speaks about the fact that Orset journeyed through the 7 caves in order to find the missing pieces of Osiris' body, Osar's body. And the one piece in which that she did not find was the phallus symbol. This is why Tahuti had to make it from clay to remodel it. Remember, the whole flesh of the body is supposed to be made from clay. The Bible states that within Genesis, the first chapter, that man was made from the mist, which is water, and as well as also from the dust of the ground. The Quran says that Adam was made from black mud. Canoon is said to have created us on his potter's wheel, the Ba and the Ka, the soul and the spirit. Of course, that story was told by celestial dust, not actually the dust of the planet Earth itself, but celestial dust, which is talking about starfire. Hence, 300,000 tons of stardust particles fall to the planet Earth daily. And hence, you yourself, according to quantum physics, you are a walking star. So you absorb this particular energy on a daily basis. But we have lost the science on how to store this energy within our bodies. But it's found within the various practices of the Tibetan monks, Shaolin monks, the Buddhist monks, the Taoist monks, and etc., the yogi practitioners. The three areas in which that you store this energy in, when you breathe in, you store the energy within your navel chakra, or right below it, within the back of the heart or chest area, or within the third eye area. When you store the energy within the navel chakra, that extends your life force. Longevity occurs. You live for a longer time period. You strengthen what is known as your ethereal or your silver cord. You thicken it. When the energy is stored within the heart, then you establish love. When it's stored within the third eye, then you establish intelligence and high IQ. So, by the science of breath, which is called pranayama within the Sanskrit teachings, or Vedic, or Hindu Kush teachings, the Tamil teachings, the pre-Dravidians, you have to master breath control, which is called pranayama, which is the ultimate exercise or practice of all of the yogi traditions. You have about 8 different yogis or yoga, ranging from Raja to Tantra or Kriya, 8 of them. And the most important element within each is the science of breath. That's not being taught here in the West. They just teach you the positions or the particular mudras, but don't teach you the particular breaths in which that goes along with these particular techniques. There's something else that we have to master. So Jesus symbolizes that aspect of the Shu, which is the breath. Shu symbolizes the aspect with his sister, which is Tefnut, which is moisture. Shu means dry, or to raise up. What is that being raised up? Because through the breath, the Kundalini raised up. Aset is raised up. The soul aspect is raised up, in which that dwells within the genitalia area. The energy is raised up. It's called the Kunta gland. Within the male is the prostate gland. Within the woman is the G-spot. The energy is raised up in order to break through what is called the ethereal threads. There's 31 nerves in the spinal column and 2 nerves in which that crisscross each other out. So 31 plus 2 is 33. Also, there's 33 vertebrates in the spinal column when they are fused together and as you become an adult. 33. Hence, Jesus died at the age of 33. That is all symbolic. So as the Kundalini comes up through these particular nerves, burning through the ethereal threads, which is the blockages, actually, which comes through past lives, guilt, frustration, disappointments, etc. This is why you had to be careful about opening up your chakras. There's a system in order to bypass your chakra system until you're ready in order to deal with those particular emotions. It's called the Cobra Breath Initiation or Technique. This technique is taught by my grandmaster, Sunyata Saraswati. There's 7 Cobra breath techniques. The first 4 you get from him. The final 3 you get from Baba G. But there's 7 of them. Very powerful techniques, I can tell you. As a matter of fact, it speeds up karma, your karmatic life, and help get clear the way of all of those disappointments and frustrations and hatreds and greeds and lusts and jealousies and egos. Get a chance to move all of that out the way so that you can become the real you and begin to start developing your golden body, your golden light body, which is the final level, at least on this earthly plane. You can do it while still in the flesh or right after you die. Or past form, as they say. Within the 3 days, the golden body, you will ascend with the golden body, and the physical body will be basically gone. There might be fingernails or hair, and wish that is left behind, but essentially, you are gone within the golden body in which that you've developed, and wish that is the merger of the subtle body. This is the reason why you practice Qigong, Tai Chi, Reiki, or Pranic Healing. Is in order to merge these particular subtle bodies together to become a vehicle. Because we know that your immortal body or bodies are your Aku, your Ba, and your Ka. Those three bodies survive what we call death. That is the immortal part of you. And you can have that body as the conscious vehicle. Or you can just simply dissipate and return to the realm of form, which is called the collective consciousness or unconsciousness. However, the golden body remains conscious of self-consciousness, self-awareness. Your choice is yours. So this is all through the mastery of the signs of breath, and this is the aspect in which that is utilized in order to master the power of the mind. In the power of the imagination. With the mastering of the breath, you have seven levels, or the seven stages of consciousness. The average person breathes about 18 breaths a minute. If you lower that to 9 breaths a minute, if you lower that to 7.5 breaths a minute, then to 6 breaths a minute, 4.5 breaths a minute, 3 breaths a minute, 1 breath a minute. Those are the seven levels of consciousness. Each consciousness, or each aspect of those breaths, symbolizes a state of consciousness. 18 symbolizes interpersonal consciousness. 9 symbolizes intrapersonal consciousness. 7.5 symbolizes life consciousness. 6 symbolizes subconsciousness. 4.5 symbolizes superconsciousness. 3 symbolizes magnetic consciousness. 1 symbolizes infinite consciousness. Infinite consciousness. So if you learn how to breathe at 1 breath a minute, which is 30 seconds in and 30 seconds out, and you was able to do that for 72 minutes, you would tap into your higher self, the God portion of yourself, and actually tap into the subatomic particles of yourself. At 3 breaths a minute, your pineal gland is fully activated. And you tap into the atomic portion of yourself. 4.5 breaths a minute, your pituitary gland is fully activated. And you tap into the molecular structure of yourself. At 6 breaths a minute, you tap into your cellular structure of yourself, which is also dealing with the medulla oblongata area. And it goes on in succession. So this is the way in which that you master the signs of breath. This is what is going on. So Shu, which is Yahshua, Jesus, symbolizes that aspect of you. What is the sound you make when you sneeze? Yahshua. Every time you sneeze, you call it on Jesus, or his Aramaic name, in which that they derived that from, the sneeze of light. It's a known fact that Atum produced his children from his sneeze. So, Atum said, Yahshua, when he sneezed, in which that produced his children. Shu, Tefnut, they produced Gebnut. Gebnut produced Asar or Set, Set and Nebhet. Asar and Aset produce Heru, and Asar and Nebhet produce Anpu. But they came from the sneeze of Atum. And the sneeze also symbolizes the semen, in which that is also shot forth from out the phallus. Because the sneeze, as well as which is snot, as well as also the semen, is nearly identical in a sense, because of the sliminess of it. And this is within the ancient Kemetic Perim Heru text once again. Or the book of coming forth by day and night. No coincidence that you say God bless you when someone sneezes. Not only do the heart stop for that particular moment, and you saying God bless you in order to get it back started again, because by placing a bliss or blessing upon a person, of course, blessing within Oxford Dictionary means the blood sacrifice. We won't get into that. But the Jews say Gehuntite, or whatever the case may be. But this is where this particular story comes from. So Jesus is said to breathe upon his disciples. If you go to the book of John, that's what it says, that he breathed on his disciples and they received the Holy Spirit. So this is very important. This is why God breathed into the nostrils of man and made man a living soul. He told you how to get in contact with him was through the breath, by the breath in which he breathed into your nostrils. He breathed his essence, divine self of God, into you. Hence, God is in his temple. Her temple. As the soul, which is God. This is what this all symbolizes. This is what this is talking about, y'all. Stop the spookiness. For real. Because it's igamy. Seriously. You know, Islam is waiting for the Mahdi. Jews are waiting for the Mashiach. Christians are waiting for Jesus. Everybody waiting for something. When it's always been the forever coming one. The ever coming one. Esau Hederu. Esau Hederu means the ever coming one. This is why the term return is being utilized by Jesus, that I must go and I will return. Jesus in the second coming. But for the Christians, that is. First time coming for the Jews is the Meshach or the Messiah. And then many don't know what Mahdi, you know, means. Some say it's the aspect of the second coming of Jesus once again. But the word Mahdi simply means guide. This is where the misconception comes in at. This is why the Muslims take the Bible and they state, well, Muhammad is mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah. In which that the word is actually being used, it's called Ahmed. But because Ahmed was the actual name of Muhammad Mustafa Al-Amin, Ibn Abdullah, the so-called prophet of 1400 years ago, as they state, who supposedly went to Ethiopia and then the name changed from Ahmed to Muhammad, which was all a story within itself. Because, you know, Ethiopia or Kush, that they actually were the priesthood of the ancient Egyptians, and they spoke Coptic or Meroitic or Moeric, M-E-R-O-T-I-C, Meru or Moeric. And they spoke these particular and wrote these particular languages. Which is the hieroglyphics or the metronomic as we know it today, partially. But the ancient, or the Ethiopians, or the Kushites, as we refer to them as, the Kushmores, were the actual priesthood of the ancient Egyptians. And so within their tradition, Hapi name was called Muhap. Mut. Mu means water. Hap is means as in the flow of the river, the Nile itself. And Mut symbolizes the truth. So Hapi's name was Muhammad, in which that became Muhammad. Within Arabic, they translated to one worthy of praise. Muhammad symbolizes an aspect of your higher self. Because Hapi had two selves. If you ever seen on the walls of the ancient Kemetic hieroglyphs or Metunata, you see Hapi was two selves. He was two Hapis. Hapi symbolized the lower self, Hapi symbolizing the higher self. Muhammad was the Hapi of the north, symbolizes the higher self. The north as in being the top of your head, the north pole. This is what this is talking about. You can go to the new website. We got a new website for you with a lot of this information that we're dropping right here on the radio. You can go to it and check it out. www.DrAlimElbey, that's DrAlimElbey.com. That's DrAlimElbey.com. And y'all need to go and check this website out because we end the religious confusion. All the major world religions, we just take them and wrap them up and show you exactly where it comes from out of ancient Egypt, from Africa. And we also break down the fact of what the word Africa actually means. It did not come from Scipio's Africanus. That was a nickname in which that he got for the defeat of Hannibal. That was not his actual name. He was not. He was a Roman. He was not from Africa. Or what became known as Africa. So he cannot have given the name to a place in which that he was not from. The word Afra is right there written on the walls in the Metunata on the walls of ancient Egypt. Af means house, body, temple, flesh. Ra means sun, light, photonic energy. Even the symbol of Ka is there, in which that symbolizes spirit, soul, spiritual soul. So right there, it means the flesh that houses the spiritual light. That's what Africa means. So Africa isn't just about being black, so-called black. It means that it houses the spiritual soul, your flesh, your body, your temple houses the spiritual soul, which is God. So Africa is a word in which that we can utilize in its original sense. But not if you believe through poor research that it means it comes from Scipio Africanus, who was nicknamed Africanus because of his defeat of Hannibal. But that was not his name. That was just a nickname that was given to him because Hannibal was Africanus, was African, from Africa. That was an insult. The European taking on the name, just like back in the days, great warriors would eat of the other flesh of their enemy, saying to take on the powers of the enemy because their enemy was a tremendous fighter and had a heart. This is what all this means. All right, well, we're going to go right quick to a song, and we'll come back, and we're going to hit up the line. Let's go to Lord Jamal, the original man.
Yeah, a universal fan.
Yeah.
Yo, check me out, Jungle Monk Monk style. Run devils across the desert 2,200 miles. And make them walk every step of the way. Strip them down, take everything away. Send them to the mountainous cave. 2,000 years alone stay. Mustafa slept in the ring of fire. Bringing knowledge of how to steal and be a liar. He tried to be a civilizer. 33 and 1/3 degrees wiser. He taught them how to build a home and how to live a respectable life. And how to master the original man, which was the plan of the father as a boy, 6 years old, playing with steel. Saw opposites attracting that everything's real. And if you put your mind to it, by the force of your will, what the thoughts manifest could be able to kill. I'm just glad we to the point that we able to build. If we could only stay stable, maybe we will. Original man is first. I wanna say peace to the gods and the earth. A universal fan, living out the universal plan. And yo, tell them who I am. Original man is first. I wanna say peace to the gods and the earth. My universal fam, living out the universal plan. And yo, tell them who I am.
We at the mines praying, nickel bags of black, folding stacks. It's ganja season here now, what up my dude Lax? Yo, blowing coffins, keep bagging. We gon' show the government, it ain't about blacks, it's only about stacks. Furnished labs, balling crabs, Houston oil and mass, Reebok, tennis yellow, fellow gone mad. The game is stupid, these teams, they keep sneezing. Yo, what's the reason? Too much pushing to get records to rag.
The best one on the rack, rolling
clothes, with paper cut in my hand. I got 11 fingerprints. Hold that back to the filthy, ugly, muggy, rugby thugs with no love, slugs, silver ones, stoties, split niggas' temples, forget the shit, freshly squeezed. Roll that Nestle, the vaccine and rentals, fly language, lift the sword off, and spray you. Yo, a large one, a gun, no plane.
Original man is first. I wanna say peace to the gods and the earth. My universal fan, living out the universal plan. And yo, tell them who I am. Original man is first. I wanna say peace to the gods and the earth. My universal fam, living out the universal plan. And yo, tell them who I am.
Last Sunday of the month, so to Harlem we went, not clubbing. The Parliament's of Harriet Tubman.
Peace to the God, peace to the earth, peace to the seas, peace to the birth of the nation.
Of the 5%
that sent intelligent brothers to represent. A law of justice made the knowledge born. You find the guards from the jails to the college dorm. You gotta know the less, the wise, the dumb. And understand your culture of freedom. Power equally with the guards, so you can build and burn your cipher. All your life you must teach truth. Of the true and living God, not a mystery spook. And when you do that, pursue that goal, which makes the student enroll. And only then you'll prosper.
Original
stars and the earth, my universal fan, living out the universal plan. And yo, tell them who I am. Original man is first. I wanna say peace to the gods and the earth. My universal fam, living out the universal plan. And hey, yo, tell them who I am.
The Bible and Quran, who was walked on this planet from knowledge to born, led in the right direction easily. I offer jewels to those in need of protection. Use mathematics to gain answers to questions. King, Kassim, God of law, so forth and prove sun, moon, and stars. Raised from the dead by science to the knowledge of God. Now I know what civilization means, and I strive to teach that to these cats. But it seems that they got a pin set in their head or something, walking around, but they mentally dead. They ask for jewels, and I give them bread. And some die. Just that food for thought that they was fed. My wisdom bears fruit, arm, leg, leg, arm, head. Supreme being black man, the dread. I shared equality with Jamal. I spread blood, fire, y'all. All hell, ghetto messiah. Truth bringer in the midst of these snakes. I make knowledge born, going through whatever it takes. Whether I build or destroy, I can cause earthquakes. Adding on to the positive shining light as this earth rotates.
For press use only, Baby Grand Records.
Doubt. G-O-D. All right, we're going to go to the lines right quick. But before I get there, we had a question in the chat room. Brother Mike was asking me about the fact of how to invoke the cosmic energies. It's real simple. It's through the science of breath. You will actually concentrate your breath as you breathe in, and you will focus your attention at your navel chakra in order to store the energy there. If you have problems doing it, you can take your hands and place them. For the male, it would be left over right. For the female, it would be right over left. Right over the navel chakra. If you need another help, if you have any belly button, then you can take a penny and put it inside of there and focus your energy or attention there. If you have an outy belly button, you can take some water and wet it and focus your attention there. Either way, it accounts for the focus of attention in that particular area to begin to store the cosmic energy. Remember, 300,000 tons of stardust energy falls to the planet Earth daily. You, as a melanated being, supposed to absorb your share. Yes, I know chemtrails are blocking some of it, but there's still enough in order to get it. So get yours. Know what I mean? So, no doubt, we're getting ready to go to the phone line. We got area code 314. Area code 314. You're on the air.
Islam, Moore.
Islam, Moore. How you doing today, Brother L?
I'm doing all right, brother. How you doing, Brother Aline?
Doing well.
All right. Yes, sir. Brother, I was listening when you asking the brother's question about how do you get rid of the cosmic energy.
Right.
I was thinking you said left over right. Does that also coincides why we have button our coats over the left, and the women both button their coats over the right? I mean, we button our coats over the right, and women both their coats right over left.
Right. Right. Well, definitely. That would account for the difference, and I'm pretty sure that is where it comes from. Just like you know, within the military, we got left, right, left. You know, and we start off with the left foot first, in which that goes back to ancient Egypt of trampling down evil so that the heart can go forward in righteousness.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure that it came from various techniques in which that we do, because the Muslims or the Moors or Sufis, they practice that, you know, when they do salat, which is, you know, the word salat means fire. So it's talking about when you raise the fire within you. So when you make salat, it's actually supposed to activate your kundalini and the particular chakras. That's why you have seven positions in order to stimulate each chakra. This is why you have, you know, sajja, one of the most important positions, which is the, you know, as you're kneeling, or sitting in ruku, you have to bow down your head to the floor, which is sajda, which symbolizes the kundalini and the energy coming down into the head area.
You know, okay.
To create enlightenment. This is why some Muslims have the dark area there on the forehead, in which that symbolizes the third eye area, just like the dot, you know, put within, you know, on the Indians, you know, in the Indo Kush region of India. You know what I'm saying? They have the dot in which that they put there at the third eye region also. There's seven eyes of Allah, as is taught to us within the 101 and the 102, or the questionnaire for Moorish, American Moorish children. And it states that these seven eyes of Allah are the seven Elohim. Well, we know them as the seven chakras, but you also have seven areas up from the third eye, which is in between the eyebrows, going up to the forehead area, in which that there's seven particular eyes right there also. So the seven eyes of Allah also symbolizes that particular region.
Uh-huh.
Between the third eye, which is the in between the eyebrows, up into the hairline area, in which that is all, actually seven of them symbolizes the various eyes of Allah. Okay, so
yes, mm-hmm. So when I see some Hindustanis walking around with the red dot on their
right.
forehead,
right,
that also represents the third eye, right?
Right, that's the symbol of the third eye, right? That's
okay,
the, that's called the Bennu. All right.
You said the Bennu?
I think well, within the ancient Kemetic teaching, it's called the Bendu. Well, it's called the Bendu within the Sanskrit teaching, the Bendu, B-I-N-D-U, Bendu.
Okay.
Right,
okay.
But that is, within the ancient Egyptian, that is nothing more than a serpent coming out at the tiara, at the crown, right there at the third eye area, right there at that region. So it resurrects, so it's talking about the kundalini resurrecting right there at the third eye region.
Okay.
So that's what that is symbolic to.
Okay. I know you were saying that Salat means fire.
Right. Salat means fire.
I always thought it meant prayer, you know.
Right. No. Salat, dua means prayer. Salat
okay.
is worship.
Okay.
Okay. But worship is actually the transliteration, because you have the deconnotative meaning and you have the connotative connotative meaning. All right, the deconnotative meaning actually is fire. The connotative meaning is worship.
Okay.
In other words, Salat means actually fire.
All right.
It's okay. In actual translation, but it's within the fire. The release of the fire is actually through the worship.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay.
Even if you go to the Hebrew, the word Shelah, S-E-L-A-H, Salah, they tell you that it means worship, but Salah is the same as the word Salat, which means fire.
Okay.
It's an aspect of fire. Which
okay.
is about the kundalini fire, which is the serpentine fire, which is comes up through the back. This is why you have to do wudu, to cool down the body before you enter into the fire worship.
Okay,
you have to baptize yourself first, just like John the Baptist did Jesus. And then Jesus said, John the Baptist said, after I baptize with water, he will baptize you with fire.
Okay.
You remember that?
Right, I remember that.
Right, that's within the New Testament, within the book of John. So Jesus will baptize you with fire. That's what that is symbolic to. Remember, Jesus symbolizes the breath. So the breath, when you're doing these particular postures or positions, mudras, you know, it taps you into that particular element, the breath element in particular too, because you're reciting words of power. In particular, you're reciting Al-Fatiha, which the word Al-Fatiha means to open.
Right.
All right. Now, that's no coincidence, because the word within Hebrew is called Al-Fatiha. Which means to open or open it. That's no coincidence, because within ancient Egypt, the word is Ptah,
mm-hmm.
which means opening or the opener.
Okay.
So when you read Al-Fatiha, that's what that is talking about, is the opening. Opening of what? Is the opening of the seven seals, Brother L?
Okay.
Remember, the book of Revelation tell you that there's seven seals on which that's supposed to be open.
All right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Which are symbolic to the seven eyes of Allah, which is the seven Elohim. Mentioned within the 101 and 102s. Now, how do you open them? Well, according to Sufi traditions or al-Islamic traditions, you read al-Fatiha. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmanir-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Udu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim. Maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Amin. Those things, those in sounds at the end. Excuse me. I was hiccuping at the same time I'm trying to say.
Okay, brother. Doing all right.
But those seven stanzas, those seven verses, each one of them end with the ayin sound.
Yeah, they do.
Within Hebrew and Arabic, is the 16th letter in Arabic, 18th letter in Hebrew. All right?
It's never been broken down to me like that.
Right.
They always taught me the prayers. You know, I know.
Right. They always taught you the prayer, but they never taught you the meaning of it.
Right. You're right.
Right. So, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. All right. So, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim means in the name of Allah, the merciful and the compassionate.
Okay. Got
it. The merciful and the sustainer of, you know. Then, of course, you know, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Maliki Yawmiddin means the Lord of the universe or the Lord of the boundless universes.
Okay.
Rabbi. Yeah. Rabbi Maliki Yawmiddin. Maliki. Maliki means king. So the king of the boundless universes.
Mm.
Or the day of judgment in this sense is actually called Maliki Yawmiddin means the king of judgment.
I know how to say the prayer, but right. I never did go to the real meaning of it.
Right.
They never go to the real meaning of it.
Right, that's what I'm trying to convey to you now.
Yes,
and
sir.
So,
you're doing a good job of it, too.
So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, Ihdinas siratal mustaqim, siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim, ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. All right. All of that symbolizes those seven stanzas, which symbolizes the activation of each of the opening of the eyes of Allah. Because the word ayin within Hebrew and Arabic symbol is an eye. One eye, brother L.
Yes, sir.
So each time you end in, that symbolizes the opening of that particular sound, means the opening of one of those chakras.
So when they do prayer, when they have the left hand with the right,
right,
their hand turns to the head turns to the left.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad and Rasulullah, Assalamu alaikum, Rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum. When they turn to the right,
right.
What does that signify?
Right. Mm-hmm.
What does that signify when they turn their head?
That goes back to what I was saying. When you turn the head to the left and to the right, symbolizes the activation of the cerebrum, which is known as the cherubim. The two cherubims, go to the Old Testament and it speaks about the Ark of the Covenant being guarded by the two cherubims. The Ark of the Covenant is actually your pineal gland, and inside of the Ark is the law of God, which is actually your soul.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Right?
And also that was in the Ark was the staff of Moses, which symbolizes your spinal column. You remember?
Moses, they sure does.
Moses took the rod and threw it down in front of the Pharaoh, and it turned into a serpent. Well, what do you have within your body in which that is called the serpent? It is known as the kundalini, which is called the serpentine fire, in which that comes up through what? The spinal column.
Wow. You ain't talking about but energy there.
Right. And that's what split the Red Sea, because when it gets at the heart chakra in which that the heart, splits the Red Sea. The to and fro motion of the beat of the heart is what splits the Red Sea, which is nothing more than your blood system, your blood supply in your body.
Hmm. Okay.
That's what the story was actually was talking about.
Like I said, active with the Nation of Islam, they always taught you the prayer, but they never go into the science of like you did, just did.
That's because they don't know, and that's the problem. That's the reason why you can't follow anything in which that you can't rationalize.
Okay.
In which that doesn't make sense to you.
Right.
You keep it moving. Every time that happens, you keep it moving. If you can't find the answers that you need for your soul development, because this is about your soul. The more information your soul can gather within the various life aspects, that means that the less of a chance you have to come back here to reincarnate. That means that these people who are supposedly about soul saving, but yet have no answer for the soul, actually are doing a detrimental thing to the soul, really.
Huh.
They're really doing a detrimental thing to the soul because they actually are trying to hold the soul. That actually what they end up doing is holding the soul down and keeping it from being developed. Because they don't have the answers to the soul development. And the soul wants to develop. A higher being wants to develop and don't want to come back and incarnate back into a third-dimensional reality. They want to go into higher realities.
Right.
Or what is called apparent realities. They don't want to do this. They want to keep doing this. I don't want to keep doing this. I just came back this time to do my mission and keep this shit moving.
There you go.
As many of us are. And that's what we have to keep realizing and thinking to ourselves. All right, I'm just here right now. I'm going to keep it moving.
Okay, well. Yeah.
Because the Moors are not just navigators of the sea. We also are the charters of the sky, too. In other words, we're the navigator of the planets, of the stars. The moon and stars and the suns.
You just got to know how to utilize those energies.
Exactly.
So
we are the navigators of the cosmos, too. Not just the sea. And not just more named after the land. But land, air, and water, which is law. L-A-W. Law. Land, air, and water.
Does that have anything to do with the word Lord?
Exactly.
Okay. I was told that it don't.
That's because they're looking at it from the way in which that is translated from the Hebrew, which means rabbi, in which that can also, or either Adonai. But even the word Adonai comes from the Hebrew, from the Arabic, well, Adonai comes from the ancient Egyptian word Atan.
Okay.
In which that was the sun disk, in which that's the same sun disk in which that you see with the wings expanded from it on the caduceus, or what is called the uraeus.
So when they say you're baptized by fire and the other one baptized by water, that's the opposite of the two elements, or the four elements of the universe.
Right.
Okay.
Right. That's hydrogen.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Hydro means water, right?
Right.
And gen means fire.
Okay. Oh, man. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We're going to explain everything, God, because that's what I have to do, because I can't play with my soul. That's why I can't follow none of these Negroes, because they don't have the answers.
No.
If they,
hell no.
If it looked like they had the answers, then I'd be right there. But since it doesn't look like it, I got to go with my own soul force.
Okay.
And okay. I recommend that everybody do the same thing. And then as we all, you know, master our soul forces, we can unify at the soul level. You know. But right now, as people are searching and looking, you know, then they, you know, that still shows confusion in a sense. You know. So in order to eliminate that confusion, you have to master self. That's why Noble Jolly said, you know, well, what to study? Self. Well, what's the study after you study self? Oh, some more self. That's the answer. It's about studying self, no matter what.
Right. Well, like I said, I'm still learning more. Man.
Oh, it's all right. Yeah, we all still learning. I mean,
you broke down that prayer like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's key. So that's the reason why, you know, within, that's why you have to study not just Islam, you got to study Sufism, because within Sufism, it tells you what this really means.
Okay.
You get the answer within Sufism. You don't get it within our Islam.
Okay, because I never really studied Sufism.
Right. So that's the, but Sufism is more science.
Exactly.
It's not our Islam. That's why he made a distinction. Oh, we study Islamism, because that's Sufism. That's not regular our Islam of the Arabs and their Arab traditions.
Mm-hmm.
We explain what we can do. We explain what we do on a daily basis. We explain the reason why we wash ourselves or purify ourselves before we go into Salat, which is fire, before we get baptized by the fire. We have to get baptized by the water because it cools the body down. So that when the fire comes, it don't it don't burns out our circuitry,
right?
Which is our nervous system, and we can commune with Allah. This is the reason why for the night of Miraj, of the night of power, in which that Muhammad had when he ascended up on the Baruch into the seven heavens. The seven heavens are symbolic to the seven chakras, and the Baruch
seals symbolic, and all, yeah.
Right. And so, and Baruch is symbolic to the Kundalini.
So when he said Al-Fatiha, you mean the opening of the seven seals.
The opening of the seven seals, where Al-Fatiha means the opening. The opening of what?
It would never explain to me like that.
Right. The books mentioned within the last book from before the Holy Quran, before that chapter, which is the first chapter of the Quran, which used to be the fifth chapter, but before it became the first chapter of the Quran, what was the book prior to that? What was the last book right before that? It was the book of Revelation, which is the book of Injil, which is mentioned in the Holy Quran, which is, you know, misnomer the Gospels, but actually is the book of Revelation.
Okay.
So the last book in which that, before you get to the opening, Al-Fatiha is the opening of the seven seals mentioned in the book of Revelation, the Injil.
Yeah, I got to read that Quran some more, too. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the word Holy Quran actually means sun cycle.
You mean what now?
It means sun cycle. The Quran, the book, the Holy Quran is an astrology book. As above, so below, as within, so without.
Yeah, because I know we're always speaking about the sun and moon and stars.
Exactly. It's a sun book. And it's a story, and the stories in it, if you go to the third chapter of Engram, it tells you that portions of this book is allegorical. And Allah knows the meaning of the allegorical parts. And those men of knowledge. However, other men have taken this allegorical parts in order to give it their own interpretation. And therefore, Allah seals their hearts.
Uh-huh.
And this is what is going on. These people on this planet have taken the allegorical parts of the Bible, of the Quran, and they have given it their own interpretation.
Mm.
And can't explain it properly to the person who's trying to actually have their soul saved. Which the only way you can save your soul is actually through yourself. It's through your own enlightenment. You know, through that light bulb coming on over top of your head. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the only way in which that can happen, brother.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
All right. Hold on, Brother L. We're going to go to the caller here. We got area code 205. Area code 205. You're on the line. You're on the line. Peace.
Peace. Aline, how you doing?
Peace.
You okay?
All right. I had a question. When we off into Revelation of the St. John, first chapter, 14-15 verse, and it states that his head and his hair were light, his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire.
Flame of fire, right.
And his feet unto fine brass, and if they burn in a furnace,
right.
And his voice has the sound of many waters. What is it actually that he's talking about?
All of that is talking about basically the raising or the ascension of the Kundalini energy. The woolly head symbolizes, of course, people of African descent, because we're the ones in which that put that book together. Like I said, the Ethiopians were actually the high priests of ancient Egypt, in which that information, the Bible, the Quran, all of that was taken from out of the ancient Egyptian text, or what is called the Bahamahiru text. You know, of course, you can go to Egypt and see the woolly hair all over the place on the hieroglyphics, or what is called the Metunetsu, to this day. So that was symbolic to the person who was enlightened, was the woolly hair. That's what that was symbolic to. And if you want more proof of it, look up the word Sufi, and you will see that word Sufi means wool. But then they would try to tell you that wool is talking about a cloth or some type of coat, when actually it's in reference to the hair. You know, so when you look at the word Sufi, which is the mysticism of our Islam, it's talking about the people. So in this particular case, the woolly hair symbolizes the people. But if you look at a hieroglyphics or the Metunetsa of Shu has woolly hair. Shu has feet as if it was burnt in the furnace. Shu is depicted as a Moor, or as a so-called black man. But yet, he's the personification of air. So am I supposed to believe that this man symbolizes the personification of air, that this man flows through me? Only in the sense of fallen manta. You know, you get the story in the Old Testament about manna falling from heaven, and us eating this manna that falls from heaven. That is talking about the cosmic energy, that fire. You know? So, I mean, we're talking about various interpretations, but when you look at the image in which that particular passage was taken from, that is the image of Shu. You can look up Shu right now, S-H-U, right now. Go to Google, put in the name Shu, and then press image. And you will see actual depiction of Shu as a black man with woolly hair.
F-H-U.
Yeah, S-H-U. Now, if you go to my new website, I break this information down in detail. That when Arius Pisos or Pisos got the information, he played himself as Josephus Flavius, the first century historian, but he was related to Herod. All right, and he was also related to the Ptolemies, or the Ptolemies. And he was able to go into Egypt and copy these stories down, and he made them into what is now known as the Holy Bible, or what is known as the New Testament particularly. So the images in which that he used was the images in which that he seen right there off the walls of ancient Kemet, or the Metunetsa. And like you said, Jesus, which is the Aramaic name Yahshua, is where it was taken from, Shu.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Old Testament deity was Yahweh, or Yahwah, and then the New Testament deity is Yahshua. So, in the New Testament, they added Shu into the center of Yahwah, or Yahweh. That means, in the Old Testament, Yahweh symbolized Geb and Nut. Because in the ancient Kemetic text, you'll see Yahshua, or Shu, in between Geb and Nut. In the later scene on the walls of ancient Egypt, in the beginning scene, you'll see Geb with the penis erected, going pointing up towards Nut, which is the sky god, or the sky goddess. But then in the next scene, you see Shu in between both of them. This is supposed to be the separation within the Bible, in the book of Genesis, where it speaks about of the water from the firmaments of the air, or the firmaments of the sky. And Geb symbolizes the earth itself. So this is where these depictions come from that we talk about within the Old Testament and the New Testament, is right off the walls of ancient Egypt. But like I say, put Shu in within Google, and you'll see a depiction of Shu, and it's a black man with woolly hair. And so you'll see exactly where that depiction comes from, and that reference right there within Revelation.
Wow.
Well, that's
okay.
Okay,
you got another question, brother?
Yeah, I see. Oh yeah. Also too, you had mentioned that males go right over left, right, and females left over right. Why
right.
In particular? Why is it? So,
Because the hand positions the hand symbolizes masculine and feminine. You know, and you're looking at the brain. So, like, for example, the left side symbolizes the feminine, the right side symbolizes the masculine. So the feminine goes over top of the masculine for the male. And then the masculine goes over top of the feminine for the woman. They represent electrical and magnetic properties. Left hand symbolizes magnetic, right hand symbolizes electric.
Make a lot of sense.
Okay, that's how that goes. That's why if you write left-handed, the right cortex of your brain is activated. If you write right-handed, the left cortex of the brain is activated. You see?
Right, right. And in your book too, I think it's page 303 when you're talking about the seven ways of controlling your breath.
Right.
When it goes from 18 minutes, so you must master. You say the levels of it first, like the first level to the second level, 18, on and
right,
on up.
Nine, right, 7.5, 6, 4.5, 3, 1, right. And by mastering each one, you can tap actually into those particular levels of consciousness, which is beta state, alpha state, beta state. Delta theta state, theta state, you can tap into these various states of consciousness. That's what they call within psychology. Okay? All right. We going to area code 512. Area code 512, you're on the line.
Peace, going on, God?
Peace, Doc. How you doing, God?
Peace.
Yo, I'm doing good. I never felt this much energy. I mean, it's my birthday, but I never felt this much energy this year.
Word, that's good, that's good. And also, happy birthday.
It is.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much.
Happy birthday.
Happy born day.
You too.
Earth Day, Solar Day.
Yeah, I was going to say, basically, it's like when I'm in the dark, right? You know, when I'm in the dark, and I've learned to really enjoy it because I get deep meditations in the dark. But it's like I'll see like figures, or I'll see more like materializing, or like seems like figures and like shadowy kind of figures, like. Looks like it, like when I'm in the dark. You know what I mean?
Right.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah, those are shadow beings.
Are they nice people?
Well, shadow beings are what is called ghosts. They're the remnants of the shell, in which that it's astral energy. What is called remnants of astral energy in which that is dissipating.
Okay.
So they appear to be dark, shadow beings, which is basically ghosts. So, if you want to get rid of them, you just simply say, be gone, or say a prayer, whatever the case is, a positive affirmation.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, because I don't know now, how they had in the book of Genesis, they said it was Adam and Eve, right?
Yeah.
So what it was, I don't know, I was really interested. I was listening to Panic's show, and Panic was talking about a succubus.
Right.
And like, ever since I was younger, like, I always had this fascination with the succubus. And so what Panic would say is, if he wants to call upon a particular energy, what you would do is read the mythology or whatever, and then you can harness that energy, right?
Right.
So I called on a particular one, the name was Lilith, and I didn't necessarily have the most pleasant experience from that one.
Right. Well, neither did Adam. Neither did Adam, according to the Jewish law. Adam tried to put in a missionary position, and she said, I'm not going to be dominated or be up underneath a man. And so because of that, she transformed into a demon ever since, allegedly, according to the story. So, man.
But, I mean, do you think there's any way? Because, I mean, I know some people have worked with her, and they had positive experiences or whatever that is, or if that's just a form of melanin.
I mean that's all Lilith is. It's talking about the escape of the ego. You know what I'm saying? Not to want to surrender or submit unto your higher self. So hence the ego becomes demonized. The ego becomes, you know, the demon. You know, when it is utilized more than the higher self, and when there's no balance, or when the lower self is not murdered and submerged or emerged into the higher self. So that's what, in a sense, that also means about Lilith. You know, is the aspect of dark side of yourself. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
If you're not willing to work with it and correct your ego, you know what I'm saying, then, of course, you know, it can, you know, look at something else or, you know, become something else. Like you said, not be so pleasant. You know what I'm saying? Work with it.
Yeah.
Me personally, I just simply call upon my ancestors that I do know of.
Mm-hmm.
Who is there who changed my shitty ass diapers? You know what I'm saying? Who said that they love me? You know what I'm saying? Who gave me money? Who gave me food, clothing, shelter?
Right.
To the people that I call upon at my altar. You know, anything else outside of that, you know what I'm saying? To me, or just mere thought forms. Now, everything is a thought form in a sense, because man is nothing more than the thought of Allah, God, than flesh.
Right.
That's what a prophet is. That's what an angel is. All of that is nothing more than thoughts, God, than flesh. So these particular entities exist now because of the minds of men. We have thought these things into existence, and they dwell on the first and second overtone level of the astral plane.
The astral plane.
Right. But that's the first and second overtone level of the astral plane. But there's seven levels up to the astral plane. So they dwell on the lowest level of the astral plane. This is where the fairies and the monsters and the extraterrestrials and all these other beings and entities reside at.
I see.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that makes sense, because, well, I just got just one more thing to say. It's like I did submit to it, and I guess, you know, it was something I expected. It was what they call a succubus. So
right.
Then, you know, it was like, it was
did she sex you?
I just felt like a little, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I mean, it just seemed like a lot of my energy was gone by the morning.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what happened. That was the succubus. Exactly.
Wow.
But why give your energy away to a thought form?
True. Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I mean, don't
you have something to do with your energy, you know, that you might want to produce your own thoughts with, besides for tapping into somebody else's thought?
Right.
Of course, the thought of Lilith existed for at least 4,000 years, according to the Bible. Because Lilith was the wife of Adam before Eve, according to the Jewish law. Okay?
So that's the reason why it exists.
Right. So you tap into somebody else's thoughts. Tap into your own. Come up with your own. If you want to have sex with an entity, I'm pretty sure you can think of a hot, tempting female to do that with.
Yeah.
In your mind.
Well, I mean, you see where I'm coming from, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, you can do this yourself. You don't have to be. You don't have to tap back into some thought of a nigga from 4,000 years ago.
No. Right.
All right. Well, you know, I appreciate that. It was good talking to both of y'all. And I'm ready whenever you're ready to work on that joint, Elaine.
No doubt.
All right, you take it easy.
All right, peace.
Peace, God.
Peace, God. All right, we'll go to Erico 347. Erico 347, you're on the line.
Deborah.
Peace.
Yes, good night to you as well. Great show. I want to ask you two questions. One being about the, you know, mind control in the body, and about hypnosis. You know, it's being said more and more that instead of people receiving painkillers or anesthesia at the hospital, they're receiving hypnosis to control pain or to minimize pain or to eradicate pain. Do you believe in that concept that you can go under hypnosis, be hypnotized?
Yes, that is true, but I would rather do it myself through self-hypnosis, not through someone else putting their thought within me.
Mm-hmm.
And see how you would do that is get a recorder. And right before you go to sleep, you will play what you're saying on the recorder to yourself while you sleep. So therefore, it goes into your beta consciousness.
That sounds better to me, yeah.
Right, it goes from your beta consciousness into your alpha consciousness, and then into your delta consciousness and theta consciousness. So it goes deep into the deeper levels as you go from consciousness, which is beta, into alpha, which is goes into the subconscious. Of, you know, that's that little trance state where you can still see and hear things, but you're like dozing off, you know, going to sleep. You know, that's that particular stage is the alpha stage. That's the stage you do the programming at. And so you can get your voice to play your own voice and self-hypnotize yourself, you know, at that level, then you will not experience pain.
So do you believe, so what about the, you know, the after effects? Like after, like say for example, you're going for, to remove your appendix or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you know, record your own voice the night prior to the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
What about, you know, let's say 2 hours to 3 hours after the surgery, will you start to feel the pain then? I mean, how does that work?
It depends on how much endorphins that the body is actually producing in order to stop feeling the pain, in which that comes through the self-hypnosis in which that you did the night before. So if you want to reinforce that, then you can, if that's what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
That can always be reinforced. The self-hypnosis can always be reinforced.
Wow.
Through positive affirmations, through prayer, through decrees. It can always be reinforced.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's enlightening. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, I want to, of course, ask you about next week if you have an opening at 9 o'clock spot.
Yeah,
about, we'll speak upon the importance of digestive enzymes.
Okay, well, yeah, come on at 9 o'clock.
All right, thank you. Have a good night to both of you.
You too now.
Well, you too now. Peace.
All right, Eric Cole, 916, you on the line. Peace.
And I can't wait to see them.
916. Peace.
Peace.
Greetings.
Yeah. Ali.
Yes. Okay.
I guess they're not there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go to the chat room here. Let's see if anybody building in there. All right. I guess we get back to the subject. You got anything else you want to build on, Brother L?
Yes. I was listening to you talking to the brother about self-hypnosis.
Right.
And, I do think that would be better because that would be your own thoughts to be put into yourself.
Right, exactly.
Your own words to be said to yourself, not someone else.
And right. And who consciousness, you know, I mean, your voice, you know, to your own consciousness is the most easy accessible, is the easiest to get in. Of course, it's you. It's the sound of your own voice. There's nothing in which that beats it.
Okay.
You know.
Like they always tell you, you know, it's up to you to do this, and up to you to do that, you know.
Right.
I don't know what they say, the kingdom of heaven is within you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. That's Luke 17:21. The kingdom, do you not know that the kingdom of God is within you? Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because when you really under hypnosis of someone else and you listen to his words, what he's putting into you, into your head, you know, and so therefore it seems so, something like almost like artificial than it is real.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay,
it's coming from somebody else other than you.
Right.
Right. You're trying to awaken the aspect of your own soul, then who voice or the sound? Remember, we just broke down sound earlier, that sound is an aspect of light and thought.
Mm-hmm.
Slow down. So, you know, it's light and it's thought. You know, slow down into physical form or what appears to be physical form. You know, I mean, we're not, you know, totally physical beings in a sense, or, you know, solid beings in a sense, because actually we're 75% water, so we're more so aquatic or liquid beings.
Right.
You know, then we are solid, which is only 25%.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, that's what people have to understand, too. You know, and water deals with the emotions, deals with truth. Matter of fact, Masato Emoto, Japanese scientist, did a study on the aspect of water and how to have 44,000 channels within it of memory. That's what they found out, that water has 44,000 memory channels in it.
Well, that's a lot to tune in on.
Yes. So if you think about, you know, we're talking about hypnotizing yourself, you know, and you tap into those channels within you, you know what I'm saying, then you can produce the healing that you want.
All right.
You know, within the body. And that's the key, too. And, you know, I got to follow that, you know, myself, because that is the best way to do it, you know, is to use your own voice, you know. I mean, there is nothing else in which that is better.
Yeah, that sounds more better to me, and
mm-hmm.
plus that takes a lot of practice.
Right.
You know, but to me it don't seem like it should be that hard, though.
Right.
Since you're dealing with the self.
That's true.
You know, your own voice, your own words, your own mind.
Yep. Exactly.
Right. So I was thinking about the caduceus as well.
Uh-huh.
When you're saying left, right in the military,
right.
could that also correlate to the caduceus, the two serpent snakes?
Exactly.
Okay.
And it does.
And that brings in balance also.
Right, exactly. Bringing balance between the male and female, masculine and feminine, you know, positive, negative, you know, electrical, magnetic. It brings in those aspects.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So what I couldn't hardly hear when you said Holy Quran. Quran means what now?
Right, the Holy Quran. You know, the word Quran means cycle, or to recite, which means a pattern or
okay.
cycle of time. The word Quran is derived from the Latin word chronos, or chronology. What's chronology? Chronology means what? An aspect of time. So the Holy Quran deals with an aspect of time. This is why in the Nation of Islam, you was taught that the Holy Quran is 25,000 years. Renewal of history.
Right. Right, I was.
Right.
Now, they didn't speak on that.
Right.
It did teach that much, yeah.
Right. The Holy Quran is 25,000-year renewal of history. Well, what is 25,000 years? 25,000 years is the sun traveling through the 12 zodiac signs or constellations.
Right. It's an age.
Right. It's an age, or what is called a great year.
Okay.
So the Holy Quran symbolizes a time span. Chronology. Time. Chronos. Which is what? Taken from who? Heru. which is Heru the Elder, is Asar, Father Time. So this is where all these stories come from, Brother L. Everything goes back to Egypt. That's the oldest place we can find these mythological stories at, still inform that we can see and study and understand how they apply to our lives today.
Right. Yeah, I was also discussing with a brother. He's a brother Mason.
Right.
And he was saying that the word Moor, he sees the word Moor as when the Moors ruled Spain.
Of course. That's what most people see it.
I said Moor go back further than that. Moor science and the Kemetic mysteries are both one and the same.
Right. But even then, even if it meant Moors who ruled Spain and Portugal, explain to me why are we still not using that word today on a massive level? You know, because the Moors supposedly left, some went back, you know, into Africa, some journeyed into other portions of Europe, you know, some allegedly came here to the Americas. But
right.
If you're talking about Moors in that sense, then we missed the whole point. Because there was Moors who journeyed here from out of Mali, known as the Olmecs, or
okay.
The Mandingos, or the Mendes people. And they was here over 5,000 years ago, right here in the Western Hemisphere, out of Mexico, the Yucatan Peninsula, or the Mexican, or the Gulf of Mexico, as it's now called.
Okay.
And they came from out of the interior of Mexico up into the southern area and the eastern seaboard region, all the way out to the Great Lake region.
Okay. Because I know it's an ancient word.
Right.
And I was trying to tell this brother,
yeah, the word Moor means high priest of Anu. Is actually a hieroglyphic or the Metuneta word. And it was spelled M-A-U-R-S, Moors.
Moor, okay. But that's right. How the Hawaiian island got its name, Maui.
Yeah, exactly. That's how they got the name Maui. Exactly.
Wow.
And that's why they say, what's the word they say to this day when they greet you?
They say Islam Moor.
No, I'm talking about what they say in Hawaii. What they say when they meet you or greet you? Aloha.
Aloha, yeah, right. What does that mean?
What that sound like to you?
Sound like they said Allah.
You get
or something.
Allah.
Allah.
Right. In other words, I'm greeting you with what I see within you. In other words, it goes back to what they say Jesus said. When I see you, I see the Father. When you see me, you see the Father. In other words, when I see you, I see Allah. When you see me, you see Allah. So I greet you, Allah. Aloha.
So when I see Hawaiians or when I see so-called Samoans, are they considered Moors?
Samoans or Moors.
Okay.
Matter of fact, you can go back to the early 1900s, late 1800s, and go further back into the 1700s, and you see that they are Moors. They're black people. They're so-called black people. They look just like you and I. No different. Matter of fact, the last king, Kamehameha, he unified the kingdom of Hawaii. And I know his great-great-great-grandson. He comes to my lectures when I go to New York. And guess what he is? And guess how he looks?
He looks like us.
You and I. You can't tell. He's no different from you and I. He looks so-called black. But he's the great-great-great-grandson of Kamaui Kamaui.
Man,
go ahead.
I was wondering, you know, were they considered Moors as well? You know, because I know they were pretty, you know, kind of dark in complexion.
Right.
And I said they kind of, you know, I said, well, wait a minute, they look almost like us, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I got plenty of pictures to show that. Matter of fact, you got my book.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, look up in there. I got I got him and her, the last queen of Hawaii and the first king of Hawaii who unified the kingdom of Hawaii, Kamai.
Okay, I got to read that over again.
Yeah, I got them in the book. All right, let's go to the call. We got 252 area code.
Peace. And you know what? The Olmecans or the Mayans, they say, when they say hello, they say, nigga, give me dollar. We know because we win.
Oh, Mexico, yeah. Mexican, yeah.
Yeah, we want to invite everybody. You know, it's March the 21st through the 25th. The crew to the pyramids is going to be brought to you by the Healing Wings Institute, where the sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. I love the solar phallic energy over there. Remember, God, how the peninsula, how the longitudinal and the latitudinal lines came together, and we became more psychic and it, high energy, you know? So, a space to go and enhance. It's sort of like a blowing in the phone. But it was just beautiful. We went before so we can share it with y'all. I'm excited. And we'll be also passing out the flyers at the SETI and Brother Polite debate. So we definitely want to go so we can laugh, you know, and be amongst the energy of our people. We look so beautiful when we come together. So I can't wait. It's December the 9th, so we'll be there too.
Right, but for the cruise, like my wife was saying, is March 21st through the 25th, and I'm going to reserve your rooms now. It's only a $100 deposit. Once again, it's only a $100 deposit, and you don't have to finish, and you don't have to pay out the rest of them until January the 5th, all right? And we're pretty sure that they'll probably give you an extension, but we'll find out more about that at a later time. But go on and reserve your rooms now. And come on this cruise with us, because you think we dropping information now on this radio. Wait till you see this in person. You ain't gonna believe this shit.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely. And we also chose March the 21st because it's a tourist attraction. See, our ancestors built the Chichen Itza pyramid, and the sun will ride up the back of the serpent, the Kundalini energy, if you would, and then it'll come to the center pillar, which is symbolic to your Christ seat or your crown chakra opening and awakening. You got to be in that energy, and the best person to be in that energy with is Dr. Asadu Alim New El Bay. I'm just so excited. So if you can, make it happen. Just know the ancestors will make it happen. It's March the 25th. That's almost 6 months away. So let's make it happen. Yeah, and if you need some money-making opportunities, you know to come to your girl, because I got all sorts of stuff, to, you know, that we can probably talk through and see what's perfect for you.
Yeah, right. Oh, I know, I already know.
You sure do, God. I appreciate you. He talking about the gold and silver opportunity. Tell four, and you can walk out the door with your silver and more. So
well, that's what we are working on right now. Me and the other brother, your brother Yada.
Brother Yadavay, Ashe.
All right, we're going to go to the – everybody stay on. We're going to go to area code 336, area code 336.
Peace,
what's going on, everybody? Brother Lim, I got a question. This is Robert from Greensboro.
Peace, bro.
What's going on?
All right.
At night, I tend to lay down and do my breath, you know, try to focus on my breath, like, before I go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But I have these, like, real vivid dreams. Like, I done had, like, multiple. Like, one of them, I was coming from the Pallades. The other one, I was, like, chilling at my aunt's house, and it was like something had appeared out of the sky. And then, like, it was, like, two or three suns. Like, it seemed like I was, like, a lot of, you know, different places. But I was just confirming that that does work when you focus on your breathing. When you put your mind to it.
No, no doubt. I mean, it sounded like you was lucid dreaming, in which that means that your consciousness was located at the back of the head, which is at the medulla oblongata area. You know, when it's located at the frontal area of the head in the what is called the right auricular, that's when you have an out of body experience. You know, in which that you actually go into what is called the astral plane. So it's two areas in the brain in which that give those particular sensations. You know, and you're saying that it seems so real, then that would probably be lucid dreaming, which means that your consciousness is at the back of the head at the medulla oblongata. So that means that actually you was dealing with some past lives issues. Okay?
Okay. Because, I mean, that, man, it just be real, man.
Right. Well, you know, the Pleiades, you know, you already knew who you was there. And then the two of the three sons, of course, that is Sirius. You know, Sirius has Polo Tolo, Ziggy Tolo, and then also Emiya. You know, so, you know, that's the two, you know, the main two that they talk about, Sirius A, Sirius B, which is Polo Tolo and Ziggy Tolo. But then they rarely talk about Sirius C, which is which they just found in 1995, verifying what the Dogons have been saying for thousands of years. You know what I'm saying? Which is Emiya. So you said two or three stars. So obviously those were the two or three stars that you were talking about. So you was journeying through obviously the Pleiades, also the star constellation Sirius.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Good to know.
Oh yeah. Well, that's what the Dogon said that we actually came from is Sirius.
Yeah, that's powerful. Also, too, God. And also for everyone who's listening, thank you for sharing that. God, I'm going to have to get you a microphone because your energy, when you be coming to the phone bringing your wisdom, it's like you can feel the chi coming through the phone, too, and it sound like wind. And I know ain't no wind in there with you.
No.
But I'm going to have to get you a microphone. But, God, you can you could do – when is your birthday?
June 2nd.
Okay, so I would to everybody too. You could do your numerology and then also do your destiny number to see why you came here. I will also look up the Chiron energy that deals with like why are you even drawn to this information, you know? And then, you know, then it'll also help break down too what your dreams are, why they're so vivid, what planetary influences are causing it. Because I know right now with Mercury being in retrograde, personally, we're getting a whole lot done. You know?
Right.
So,
right. Yeah. Yeah, because I had read about Mercury and all these different planets when they move and shift their alignments. It's like bouncing off energy hitting the Earth and certain people, you know, that correspond to that. But,
yeah. Yeah. June the
2nd.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate it.
Gemini.
Well, we appreciate you too, brother. Appreciate you coming on and sharing that info with us.
Oh yeah, brother Lane, I have something else right quick that that I am gonna get in contact with you about.
Okay.
I was reading your book about the reclamation.
Right. Okay, bro. Well, we here whenever you're ready.
Okay.
All and right, also brother. Too, thank you so much. Too, that reminded me that we just put together a GoFund for the United Washita Building Fund.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so excited. We just had our donation come in today, and it was just, you can tell that it's appreciation. And so we can't wait. We're so excited about just manifesting everything. If you need to get that email, please email us at royalhouse777@gmail.com. That's R-O-Y-L, royalhouse777@gmail.com. And also you can look on Aleem's Facebook page, too.
Will do.
This is our 11th annual. I'm so excited about the cruise, y'all. It's our 11th annual United Washita Conference. So we come together and we show out. We have a great time. I can't wait to meditate with y'all. Make sure y'all bring your offerings for the ancestors because you will be traveling the seven seas, whatever. So, you know, just be on point. Bring your prayers. Do your fasting and make it happen. Let's definitely make it happen. I'm just really excited. We're going to do Qigong and Tai Chi together and you name it. You know, it's beautiful. And bring your children. That's the best part. You know, and don't worry about if you ain't got no passport. Bring your state ID if you got one or your birth certificate or your live claim birth. Bring it all. You know, just also bring you.
Right.
All right.
So we got any more questions in the queue, God?
No.
Well, y'all know it's 10 minutes after 5, so I'm going to finish putting dinner together, and it's nice talking to y'all.
Nice talking to you too, Goddess.
All right, peace.
Peace.
Peace, bring your head up out of here. Thank you. Peace, baby. And we getting ready to head up out of here. And Brother L, you got any closing remarks before we go?
Closing remarks. Well, brother, just to tell the sister that Yada Baby is still working on the gold and silver, trying to get some brothers and sisters in on it so we can get our silver, $125 worth of silver back. And we did receive the papers that you sent.
Okay.
The information.
Right.
On the executive letters.
Right.
And we both got copies, but both of us at the library yesterday.
Okay.
And we're studying right now.
Awesome.
As we speak.
Sounds good.
So we can hurry up and study them and read them so we won't make any kind of mistakes. So we can send them off.
Okay.
You know, send some, one to the IRS, one to the, whoever else we need to send them to.
No doubt. Sound good to me, brother. I'm glad that you're definitely doing your research on that.
Yes, sir.
And we get ready to go, head out. We appreciate you, Brother Al, for coming on, being my co-host, and you know that.
Thank you.
Appreciate you sharing and building with us. And as we head out, we got Adams to Adams by Killer Priest.
You are the lost sheep.
I see chariots in the sky. Men and earth look surprised as they flew across the sky. And I see the light deep within the night, up there in stars among the stars in that distant land.
Between the asteroids, before I landed upon the planet, looked abandoned, lost and stranded, I became a force that demanded light. Thoughts took flight, one course of the night, search for any source of light. Light was an open ledge coming from the edge of the universe. Went past the moon to the earth, then from the womb to the nurse. With a slight remembrance, how I came from a distance to an instinct existence with five senses. The quest for man repentance, while others cried, I exercised my third eye by hearing a lullaby. Then I magnified inside, became intelligent and wise, transformed from the celestial, shot through a sexual, terrestrial, testicle, vessel, small as a decimal where I nestle. 9 months later, special delivery to Killer Priest. From the fetus to the cleavage, from Adam to Adam, from Adam to Adam, from Adam to Adam.
I see chariots in the sky, men and earth look surprised as they flow across the sky.
I'm not the sacrifice, but a righteous parasite, searching for paradise, which is birthright of a celestial Nazarite, with appetites bite from the tree of life, smite Edomites, sodomites, Moabites, in the land of Canaanites, following six flaming lights, burning over 1,000,000 degrees Fahrenheit, bright as neon, beyond the satellites, flight take me over cattle, stocks, flocks of ice, I begin to flock across Mecca, with a vivid projector, seeking my scepter, looking at Rebecca, two sons, cropping through Jerusalem, like a hoopnum. Ah, principalities enables me to see the other galaxies, releasing all calories, back 8 author by the analogies. I'm the author and the writer of a biography, with God prophecies, challenge Egyptology, philosophy, Greek mythology. analogies, going through the glossaries of Socrates with Pharisees and Sadducees, going through geology with threes, I contact the Hasmonean dynasty, approximately 168 BC, transformed from the Philippia to the families of the Maccabees, I can see every species, 3D, him, Claire, CDs, during my pilgrimage, I walked through the wilderness, I had the privilege to see the pyramids, which gave me the will to live, roam through the villages and held the kids, walking across the bridge, strong as Farrakhan, as a voice echoed like Sarah Vaughan across the great Amazon, stretching out my hand like yarn, till it reached Babylon, behold a psychic phenomenon, quiet storm, a wonder out of horizon, from the top of holy Mount Zion, holding a staff, turned to a python, kill a priest, a living icon, sitting in the form of a pentagon, in the center of the octagon, walking from Tyree to Sidon, to Lebanon, to the walls of Hong Kong, reciting the 23rd song, long gone before the crack of dawn, stars in the reading, from the garden of Eden, without eating, speeding, robbing, lobbing, evolved, long losing,
as they flow across the sky.
Those that were uncivilized was chastised, while the civilized were baptized. 12 tribes begin to rise like bees from the hive, causing seeds with their wives, starting up hot thighs. The scribes carry the archives, follow the star guide as we glide through the windows of the far side, cross the dark skies, over the ocean tides. The unidentified flying object hovers the project, scenery, gothic sky, compassion, darkness as the thugs transforming the prophets. The body becomes cosmic as the floor becomes carpet. They rise from out the toxic and the wasteland and the garbage, with faces of various shades of chocolate, dropping the narcotics and the pork sausage, no longer held hostage.